with MustKnowInvesting.com, your source for creative real estate investing tips, tools, and techniques. You guys are in for a treat today. I have Matthew Martinez on the line, author of Investing in Apartment Buildings. Matthew, welcome to the line.
Well, hello, and thanks for having me today.
Wonderful. Well, we've got a ton of questions from the blog on investing in apartment buildings. Matthew has extensive experience, and before we get into the meat of today, I'd like to give you a short bio just to tell you a little bit about Matthew. He founded Pangea Select back in 1999, which is a private real estate investment company that acquires value-add multifamily properties. And if you're not familiar with the term value-add, I'm sure Matthew can clear that up for you later on the call. The company's transaction experience covers a broad range of disciplines, including multifamily, retail, property management, consulting, construction, and even development. He is currently the advisor to several private equity groups that have raised more than $500 million to acquire distressed multifamily assets, non-performing notes, and fractured condo conversion projects all over the country. He's bought and sold numerous apartment projects and has skillfully raised private capital to acquire income-producing real estate. And back in 2002, he founded Landlord and Investor Group, which has grown to be the largest real estate investment association in New England. Now has more than 1,600 members. Matthew is the best-selling author of 2 Years to a Million in Real Estate and also Investing in Apartment Buildings. He's the spokesperson for Intuit's rental property management software, as well as an AOL money coach alongside Robert Kiyosaki and Donald Trump. Matthew, welcome to the line. It's great to have you.
Thanks so much, and it's a very, very nice introduction. Appreciate your time today and look forward to speaking with you and your members.
Well, and Matt has a ton of actionable content to share with us today, so let's get right into the meat and potatoes. And let me give you a quick outline of what all we're going to cover today. We're going to go over kind of how Matt got started, his new book, Investing in Apartment Buildings. We're going to go over a little bit about what all is involved there included. We're going to go over finding, funding, and managing apartment buildings, tips for beginners, actionable things that you can start doing right now to get started investing in apartment buildings. Then we're going to wrap it all up and close out. So, Matthew, if you would, just tell us a little bit about how you got started in this whole real estate investing game.
Sure, and I'm asked that question quite often. I was working in the high-tech industry for about a decade. You know, went to college and did well there, and went to graduate school and did well there, and got myself a good job, and was being paid quite handsomely. Actually, back about 10 years ago, I was working for an internet company, big company out of Boston, and I knew I could sense the writing was on the wall. The internet bubble had burst. We had actually sold the company off to a much larger entity. And it was just a question of time before I was going to be laid off, which I imagine a lot of people, a lot of your listeners right now feel the same way. They're concerned about their jobs. They're wondering, you know, how am I going to make that mortgage payment if I lose that job, and what's going to happen to me and my family? Well, I was in that same situation back 10 years ago. And America, in our country that we live in, we have the same cycle where it's the ebb and flow of the economy dictates your financial future and your stability. So I decided at that point in time that I really didn't want to wait until the vice president of human resources called me into his office and said, well, you know, your number has been chosen. And although you've worked diligently over the last 4, 5, 6 years and you've done nothing wrong, but the economy is not doing that well and the industry is really tough right now. We just sold to another company and we're going to lay you off. And, you know, here's 2 months severance pay and thank you very much. So, having known that, I decided to take my own financial future and my financial independence into my own hands, and I started buying apartment buildings in the Boston area. And this is, and meanwhile, I'm still working 60 hours a week, frightened as anything that I'm going to lose my day job, and I'm making this massive investment in an apartment building, and didn't really know too much about the industry. And lo and behold, I buy that first apartment building, and it ends up to be a pretty good deal. You know, I'm making a couple $1,000s profit, and this is back in the day when you had good deals, and today you have really good deals as well. So fortunately, it wasn't during the bubble. It was throwing off a very positive cash flow, and I said to myself, a couple months after it was, you know, they stabilized the property, I said, well, you know, if I do this a couple more times, I could duplicate the income from my day job, but I wouldn't have to worry about the VP calling me in. Actually, I might welcome that opportunity. and ended up buying another property about 3-4 months later, and that one went well. And so I said, well, you know, I've got two apartment buildings underneath my belt. Let me go for another one. Ended up buying a third one, and then a fourth one, and then a fifth one. And by the time, let's see, a year and a half passed by, I was making more from my apartment buildings than I was from my day job. So I left the day job, and I've been doing it just ever since.
Well, that is awesome. That is awesome. And let's hone in on that first deal, because you got a lot of people out there that know that real estate investing is a great way to build wealth and such, and just don't know how to go about that first deal. And will you tell us how you found that first property?
Yeah, and maybe I take two steps back. I've actually found myself a real estate mentor. I found myself an older gentleman who owned several hundred units in the Boston area, and I asked him, I begged him to have lunch with me.
There you go.
I, you know, literally begged him to have lunch with me, and he finally, after a month of my pleading, he capitulated and agreed to have lunch. A 30-minute lunch turned into a wonderful 2-hour conversation, and he subsequently took me under his wing, and he showed me the ropes. He told me, you know, he'd be available if I had any questions, and he just guided me. He allowed me to sort of understand or learn the business, but from his own wisdom of he was a third generation real estate entrepreneur investor. He had been doing it for, 40 years, so I find myself a mentor, which I think is critical. You need to do that first, because I think that's important.
It is so, so important, and all of our students, one of the first things, I mean, especially for beginners that are just ready to get out of the gates, we suggest, become actively involved in your local real estate club so that when you're there, you can find those movers and shakers. And those are the people that you want to make sure you approach and ask them if you can buy them a coffee. Ask them if you can buy them lunch and just sit down with them, because more often than not, they're really happy to share their experience, because someone probably did the same thing with them when they got started.
Absolutely. I think it's I feel compelled, and that's why I wrote the two books, to give back to other people who might be interested, because a lot was afforded to me in terms of sharing knowledge and expertise, and this for me was the best way to communicate my message and help other people who want to learn how the real estate game works. So it's been an interesting time for me, but nevertheless, I found my real estate mentor. And then I went about choosing a farm area, very specific area that I wanted to buy in. I didn't want to have one property in one area, another property, an hour north of it, another property an hour south of it. I wanted to consolidate all in one area. I talk about that. That's I believe the third or fourth chapter in my book, farm areas, why that's so critical. Choose a farm area and know your market, know every property in that market, know cross streets, know values, know rents. If you know all that for your farm area, it'll be tough to lose. And know all the brokers involved and know all the players, and investment properties will come your way. So
that first deal, did you get that through a broker, or did you just know your farm area well enough to where you started to approach some of the different apartment owners?
Yeah, so the first step was find a mentor. Next step was find determine a farm area. Next step was know all the people involved, the movers and shakers in your farm area, so I got to know all the brokers. And I probably saw a good 30, 40 properties before I actually bought that first property. I went out and saw that every weekend going out, at night going out, seeing properties, running numbers, making sure I knew rents, making sure I knew the differences in buildings, the differences in streets. Actually found my very first property through a broker. Very good broker.
Okay.
Was a very good friend and broker of my real estate mentor. And they spoke and they said, give Matt a deal. And so typically, you know, I know this isn't supposed to be done, but typically brokers have, when they get a listing, they have about five people on their list that they call first. And it's called a pocket listing. Now, technically they're not supposed to do it, but it happens all the time. So they get that listing and they say, I'm gonna feed this out to my five best buyers, and if they're interested, then you know, the broker typically gets the 6% commission or whatever it might be. They get the buy and they get the sell. And if they can't sell it to their, you know, their five best sellers, then they put it on MLS and or they put it on LoopNet, and then you know they invite other brokers to or other people to get involved. So to get on that list of that favorite, you know, the top five, it's very important. And the only way I got on there is because my mentor helped me to get on that list. So got a call, said, listen, I'm going to show you this property first before I show it to anyone else. But you got to be down here this afternoon. So I left my day job, you know, at 12 noon for lunch, ran down there, took a look at the property, wonderful property, great price, numbers worked. And by that time, I had already seen quite a few properties and run a lot of numbers and knew the neighborhood. So I could make a relatively quick decision as to whether or not I wanted to move forward. And I did. I signed an agreement to move forward, gave myself good, 30 days due diligence, and obviously I had that financing contingency in the contract, and ended up closing on the property.
How many units was that deal?
That was a three-unit apartment complex, and in the Boston area, they're not cheap. so it was a lot of money for me at the time, several hundred thousand dollars, and but it threw off a very positive cash flow. You know, the apartments up in the Northeast are expensive, but the rents are too.
And so did you finance that one conventionally?
Yeah, I did. I financed it. Let's see. It was this is back 10 years ago, so you know, you get a little bit more creative in financing. It was an 80% LTV loan, and then I had a 10% piggyback, which is a 10% on top of that, and then I took equity out of my current residence that I owned. And I made up the difference to the 100%. Now, I don't typically recommend that now. Markets have changed, times have changed. But for me to get in the game at that point in time, I didn't necessarily have the money to pull out of a bank account to put down $50,000. But I had enough equity in my home to take out to use an equity line to make up the difference. So that's how
there
I found my first property. And you know, and these days, if you can't get the loan, if you can only get a 70% LTV loan or 80% LTV loan, and there's you can't get secondary financing, and you don't have equity in your home, then you have to get more creative. You've got to maybe get seller financing. And so I'm sure you'll ask me those questions down the road in this interview. But now that we're talking about it, you have to be creative in making getting the numbers to work and getting the financing together to buy the properties.
What would you say was your biggest challenge in getting that first deal?
My biggest challenge was overcoming the fear of getting involved. Absolutely, I was frightened. It was certainly my biggest investment. It was the economy that was failing. The company I was with had been acquired by another company. I wasn't sure when I was going to lose my job, and I'm out going investing,
wow.
You know?
What do you think was that one thing? What was that thing that got you past that fear? What is it that you did or that you read or heard?
It was education. You know, more than anything, it was talking to my real estate mentor, him telling me, you know, if you do the numbers properly, if you find the right property, everything's going to be fine. And that ultimately, at the end of the day, being your own boss, there's a lot less risk in being your own boss than being an employee working for someone else, whereby they could call you, VP of Human Resources, call you into their office one day and says, you know, you're out of a job. So at least
wow.
This way, you know, you have control of your own destiny. And once I kind of really understood that, and I was comfortable with my farm area, I was comfortable with the properties and the rents, and it got me over the fear factor, and it allowed me to proceed with a plan of action that made sense.
And you had done your homework. You had
mm-hmm.
chosen a specific area and learned the ins and outs of it. So a lot of that guesswork, if someone went out and just bought the first apartment complex that they were shown by a realtor or made an offer on it, then it'd be much different than the strategy of learning from an expert and becoming an expert knowledgeable in your farm area.
Yeah, and above and beyond finding a mentor and listening to your mentor and looking at a lot of properties and running a lot of numbers, I also had other contemporaries, people my age who were getting into business that I shared information with, and we sort of grew together in the industry. And then also I met with a lot of very good brokers that taught me things that focused on investment properties. I also read as many books as possible on the business so I could learn the ins and outs. And I took some courses as well. I mean, anything you can do to educate yourself will make the road much more pleasant, and you'll avoid mistakes.
And Matthew, okay, let's just say that you, this back in time, mm-hmm. and you haven't quite closed in that first deal, and I'm one of those brokers that you're calling. What would you say to me on the phone?
If I hadn't bought anything and I was a novice investor,
you're calling me. I'm a big broker at one of the commercial offices
sure.
in town, and you're networking to build
sure.
relationships. What would you say to me on the phone?
You know, I'd say what I did say back in the day, which was, you know, I'm an honest, hardworking individual. I want to make a future of investing in apartment buildings. I'm going to be a very good customer for you down the road. I don't own anything now, but I will, and I'm
exactly.
confident I will. And I just want you to give me an opportunity, because although I might not have 100 or 1,000 units right now, someday I will, and I'm going to be a very good customer of yours. So I'm asking for the opportunity.
There you go. Thank you. Thank you. That's excellent advice. Let's talk about your new book, Investing in Apartment Buildings. Give us a 30-second commercial on your book.
Sure. Okay. Well, Investing in Apartment Buildings was just published at the end of last year by McGraw-Hill. My second book, my first book, was 2 Years to a Million in Real Estate. And Investing in Apartment Buildings gives you a basic overview as to what you need to do to get started in apartment building investing. It tells you how to analyze properties. It tells you how to find real estate mentors. It tells you the difference between a small multifamily residential multifamily apartment complex versus a larger one and what the differences are. It tells you the differences between being a landlord and being an investor. It teaches you how to choose the right properties and how to avoid the bad ones. It teaches you about financing. Basically, everything you need to know to get involved in apartment building investing is in this book. It's about 230 pages or so.
Well, and Matthew, I can tell you, I read a ton of books, and whenever I just started to read the introduction to your book, I've got to say it was quite compelling. I could tell that you were well educated, and that you knew what you were talking about, and you also it was compelling, and you talked about the middle class crisis. Can you explain that a little bit?
Sure, absolutely. I spent a bit of the introduction talking about this middle class dilemma, this crisis that we're experiencing right now. And by that I mean the following: there's this massive chasm between the lower class and the upper class. And the upper class is getting bigger. The lower class is getting much bigger. And the middle class is dwindling. And at some point in time, we're going to have a very, very small middle class. And the reason is because the middle class is one lost job, one divorce, one health issue away from finding themselves in the lower class. These days, people are living paycheck to paycheck. 44% of all employees live paycheck to paycheck, according to a survey conducted by MetLife in 2007. And 48% of American households have less than $5,000 in liquid assets, according to Edward Wolf, who's an economist at New York University. These are dire times, and we need to do something about it. So I spent a lot of time talking about probably the majority of your listeners are probably in this middle class dilemma. Anyone who's making less than between $40,000 and $200,000 is basically you're considered as middle class. I imagine that's a lot of people listening to this phone call. Well, if they have a major health care crisis, if they get divorced, if they lose their jobs, it's going to be tough times for them. So I talk a lot about that, and I talk about how they can buffer themselves against tough times by investing in apartment buildings. You can continue having your day job if you love what you do, but on the side you can also invest in apartment buildings or other income producing properties to generate a passive income, so that if in fact you ever lose your job or something happens to you, something cataclysmic in terms of an economic impact, negative impact on your financial means, then you have a backup system in place.
Exactly.
So I spent a lot of time talking about that in investing in apartment buildings to help people get over the fear of, should I do it or shouldn't I do it? And I hope it's helpful. I hope the message resonates with my readers.
Very good. And there's also a section in there that's just entitled, Is the Time Right?
Is the
time right? Can you tell us a little bit about investing in today's market?
Yeah, that's an excellent question. This is one of the absolute best times to invest in apartment buildings. First of all of the people who we lost, apartment building owners, have lost over the last 5 years because they went off and bought condos or a single-family home, they're all coming back now to rent apartment buildings. So our occupancy rates are going up, our concessions are going down, rents are going up. It's a very good time to own apartment buildings. And in addition to that, the prices are wonderful. The only difficult part about buying apartment buildings right now is getting the financing. But if you're creative, there are ways of doing that, and I'll probably address that later with you. But this is an excellent time to buy apartment buildings because during the last 7 years, we've had a run-up in prices, and cap rates, basically the yields you get in apartment buildings, they were compressed. And so to buy an apartment building, you had to buy them at inflated prices because people were buying those apartment buildings, converting them to condos, and selling them for much greater prices. Now the economics are based on rental economics in terms of underwriting an apartment building and not based on condo conversion economics, which inflated the prices dramatically. So prices are much more reasonable for apartment buildings. They're in line with rentals, and the rental market remains very strong. So this is actually one of the best times. And in fact, I would even go as far as to say that it's the best time to invest in apartment buildings in the last 15 years.
Wow, wow, that should give you a big tip on why it could be very important to go ahead and learn these techniques now.
Absolutely.
This is a guy who's bought tons of multifamily properties over the last 10 years, saying this is the best time to buy.
Being a contrarian is very important. For instance, Sam Zell, he's the founder of Equity Properties out of Chicago. Equity Office was in the news. They sold all their properties throughout the country, but he managed to keep the multifamily units. And he's one of the largest landlords in the country. He owns about 200,000 units. It's Equity Residential. And Sam Zell, he made his fortune during the 70s crisis and during the late 80s crisis because he bought in a down market. And that's
wow.
When you make your money. You make your money being a contrarian, buying when no one else is buying and selling when everyone else is buying. Right, so you do what everyone else isn't doing, and that's how you make your fortune. And fortunes will be made in real estate during this down market. There's no doubt about it.
Exactly. And how many more years do you see this market in this kind of position where it's going to be when you're going to give a strong buy signal?
Well, you know, it depends on your market that you're in. I have two farm areas, the New England / Boston area where I'm from, which I know very well, and then the Miami, Southern Florida market, which I live down here as well. So I only buy in those two areas. I don't buy in the Midwest or California or Arizona or Texas or Mexico or anywhere else. I just buy right now in those two areas because I feel comfortable in those two areas. So those are the areas that I buy in. But in terms, and they're different markets. They're absolutely different markets. You know, the Boston market is probably good for another maybe year. The Miami market is probably going to be good for another 2 to 3 years.
Very good. So it's all about having that farm area and knowing it inside and out, and becoming the expert.
Absolutely, yeah. I was told by my mentor the following. It was one of the best pieces of advice I've ever gotten. He said, if you know every building, every property, have intimate knowledge of your chosen farm area, you will make millions. You know, don't worry about what's going on 2,000 miles east of here. You know, don't chase cap rates. You know, a 10% cap rate in St. Louis might turn out to be a 4% cap rate after all is said and done because you don't know the area that well. Know your market really well because there's always money to be made if you focus in on a very specific area that you have knowledge about.
Excellent advice. Thank you, Matt.
Yeah.
Okay, next section, finding funding and managing apartment buildings. Let's talk about finding good opportunities, marketing strategies.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we've talked about the farm area. We've talked about working with brokers. You've mentioned, of course, the importance of creative strategies today.
Mm-hmm.
What would you suggest to find great deals right now?
Well, there are a number of ways to find good deals. You can use brokers, as I've suggested. I always recommend working with good brokers because they have that's what they do 24/7. They find properties and they sell properties. Also, a good way of finding properties that's a little less traditional is the use of Craigslist. Now, instead of going to the Craigslist site for your local farm area and browsing through the for sale pages, go to the for rent pages, right? You have a lot of landlords and property managers on that site who are renting apartments. If you like their property, you can inquire with them whether or not they're interested in selling. And if they are, you can strike a deal directly with the owner. So that's one way of doing it. It's a little less traditional, a little more creative. And you'd be surprised what kind of results you can get. Because there might be a lot of landlords out there that just, you know, they're retiring or, you know, they're moving to a new place in the country or they could be burnt out. And you might catch them at the right time and the right email and the right inbox, and you might be able to strike up a deal that's real money-making property for you. So that's another way. Another way of finding property is to, you know, join your local real estate investment association. I have mine. The Landlord Investor Group, it's www.landlordandinvestor.com. It's the largest investment association in New England, got over 2,000 members, have meetings on a pretty regular basis. Good way of meeting other landlords, good way of networking, get on their distribution list for their newsletter, and make it known that you're an investor and you're looking for properties, so things will come your way. Another way of finding properties, especially in times like today, are bankruptcy attorneys and or banks. You want to speak with their loss mitigation departments at the banks. You want to speak with their special assets divisions. They have properties in which people have been foreclosed on, might be some real estate REO opportunities. You want to make sure that you know all these people who will bring you distressed deals, because those can tend to be, you can get really, really low pricing on those type of non-traditional, non-broker listed opportunities to buy those properties. So that's another way. Vendors, talk to electricians, talk to plumbers, talk to people who install hardwood floors or kitchens. You know, they're out in the field. They're working at apartment buildings. They know property owners. You know, they might know of something as well. And then also, have you if you haven't thought of this, put an ad in a local paper and say, you know, this is what I'm looking for. If you've got a property like this, you know a property, contact me because I'm an investor. Do that too.
I usually suggest to be very specific and such, and like you're saying, put what you're looking for. I mean, maybe a newspaper ad like investor, you know, must buy 15 to 50 unit apartment building ASAP, something like that.
Absolutely.
Just that specific and specify your farm area.
Mhm. Mhm. Absolutely. Yeah. That's you're 100% accurate in that. The more specific you are, the better results you'll have. And then finally, if you see properties that you like, just by drive-bys in your farm area, send the folks a letter, send the owners a letter, knock on the door. Find out who the owner is. The owner might even live in the property itself, or it might be a property management company that manages the property, or the owner's number might be on the, you know, in the lobby area or on the front of the property. Give them a call and ask them, say, you know, I like your property, I'm interested in it, would you be willing to sell it? So there are a number of ways to find good deals. It's just it's only limited by your creativity.
And a lot of those are what I call the grassroots efforts. People oftentimes dismiss the value of just getting out in the field and networking,
mm-hmm.
and telling and just making the phone calls, just like you're saying, calling all the for rents, talking to all the different contractors and such in your area, calling and talking to property management companies, and just letting people know that you're an active investor looking to acquire more properties, more deals.
Absolutely right. Absolutely right.
Let's talk about financing in today's market. So they're out there and they're networking, they're getting the word out, they're calling Craigslist ads, they get to the point where they find an owner who says, you know, maybe I would be willing to entertain selling the property.
Mm-hmm.
How would you approach that owner with a creative financing strategy? Because a lot of times the people that want to get started don't have the credit, don't have the large cash down payments to make it happen.
Yeah, one of the ways of doing that is when you do find an owner that's willing to sell their property, you know, you ask them for creative financing so that you can buy the property. Maybe you have some money to put down, maybe you don't. You know, sit down with them and tell them what your situation is. Say, you know, this is the amount of money that I can afford to put down. How do we bridge that gap? You know, get a local mortgage broker involved. Find out what type of LTV, loan to value rates that you can get to buy multifamily properties. Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac continue to lend on multifamily properties, so there's still a market for that.
And those commercial loans are more based on the property's performance than an individual, right?
Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. If you have a certain, and I talk about it in the book, debt service coverage ratio of 1.2, you're fine. But for the most part, if you're lacking the funds to come up with a down payment, then perhaps the owner themselves might provide you with owner financing, which can bridge the gap.
There you go. And so you might go to the owner and say, one of the things that I've heard before is that if someone's owned the property for, let's say, 20 years and they've already depreciated the property a good bit, there could be some benefits tax-wise for them to finance the property. So maybe you're talking to that owner who's owned it for 25 years and knows that if they sell it, they could have a pretty big tax hit. You might bring that up and just say, you know, what we could do if you wanted to go ahead and sell it would be, you know, us just make regular monthly payments to you, purchase the property, and you be the bank.
Yeah, yeah. You know, any time it comes to trying to be creative in financing, I think just having an honest discussion with the owner about what their issues are and what they're trying to achieve, and then what you're trying to achieve and what you can
exactly
do, so that you can create a win-win situation, is critical. A lot of times, some of these owners that don't have mortgages on their properties, let me tell you, they want to defer that capital gains as down the road. They don't want to pay it now, So they prefer to give a loan out, interest-only loan for 5 years at 6% interest, so that they don't have to deal with managing a property day to day, and they can pass it on to someone new, but yet they can serve as the bank. Absolutely, it happens all the time.
Exactly, and I'm guessing in today's market as well, a lot of these owners, if they were to just sell it outright and get a chunk of cash, they're going to invest it somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
So it's kind of, they're already invested in that apartment deal, and they can just stay in it and still have their money working for them and get rid of the management headache.
Precisely. Yeah, precisely.
Right on. Okay, and do you manage your own properties? How does that work?
Well, I talk about this in the book, and it's an important distinction between a landlord and a real estate investor. Now, in the beginning, I was a landlord. I was managing my properties day to day. I was interviewing the tenants. I was putting the ads in the online and in newspapers. I was receiving all the calls and calling the plumbers and electricians to fix things. I was doing everything, and that I refer to doing all that work, doing the day to day work. I refer to as a landlord because you're in the trenches. You're really learning the business. And I think it's important in the beginning. I think it's critical. I think that you should be a landlord. You should deal with all the issues and all the problems, and get some experience underneath your belt. But then at a certain point in time, you're better off becoming a real estate investor.
Your time is more valuable.
Precisely. Precisely. Your time is more valuable in terms of looking for the next deal, putting the deal together, negotiating the financing, and then doing it over and over and over again so that you can build up your portfolio. And, you're not dealing with one of the tenants on the third floor of one of your apartment buildings that has a leaking faucet that consumes 3 hours of your time. You need to hire a property manager for that so that they can deal with the day-to-day, and you can deal with the greater good of building your portfolio and making sure that everything's running smoothly.
Well, and one of the things that I teach is educate then delegate.
Mm-hmm.
And
I like
so
that.
Educate yourself through, of course, books, courses, that sort of thing. But part of education is taking the action and learning it, the do-it-yourself portion.
Mm-hmm.
And once you take that step, then delegate, because you can much more effectively delegate and manage that and know what you're getting out of it.
Absolutely. Yeah, I think that's sound advice.
Right on. Okay, let's go on to some tips for beginners, because a lot of the people that are most likely listening to this are wanting to take that next step.
Mm-hmm.
So what do you think is the best strategy for them to get educated to invest in apartments?
Well, we had talked about this a little bit earlier in the interview. Reading as many books is important. There are lots of great books about this field of work. Read as many books. Talk to as many people in the field. Find yourself a real estate mentor. Associate with other people who are doing the same thing as you. Who are new investors, who are maybe a little more experienced than you, participate in your local real estate investment association. Just get involved and surround yourself by people who have more knowledge than you.
And then what would you suggest for the person? I know we've probably covered a lot of this already, but what do you suggest for that person that just doesn't have the abundance of cash or credit resources?
Yeah, I think that what they need to do is to they got a couple options, really. Either save it up. If they can't save it themselves through their day job, then they can go out to family or friends or people
exactly.
who they know who trust them and believe in them. They can go to these individuals with a plan. This is what I want to do. This is how the numbers work. This is the return I can make for you. Sell them on giving you money so that you can go and execute on the plan and give them perhaps hopefully a better return than they can get in their bank account.
Over the years, I've recruited a good bit of private money for our company, and I teach that two of the best types of people to approach to put up some cash for you people that know and trust you,
mm-hmm.
and then people that know a good deal when they see one as well. So like you're saying, the family, friends, the people that you've known for a while, plus maybe the people that are affiliated in the real estate industry, where if you brought them a good-looking apartment deal that showed a solid, strong investment and cash flow position, they'd probably be more likely to put up those funds for you.
Absolutely. And then once you have a little bit of experience, you have a bit of a track record, you'd be surprised how many people come to you to give you money as opposed to you having to go to them. So
exactly. Well, and do you suggest someone start with a smaller building or maybe even single family before they go into apartments, or do you suggest they just jump on in on a big one?
Yeah, that's a great question, because I'm asked that all the time. You've got a lot of eager but novice investors who ask me that question. They, you know, they send me emails, hundreds of emails saying, you know, shouldn't I just buy myself a 50-unit apartment building and make that cash flow now and I'll be done with it, as opposed to buying these small properties? And every single time I tell them, you know, if you've never done this before, although it's not rocket science, it's not easy either. You know, you have to know what you're doing, and it certainly helps you to learn the basics by investing in a smaller building, maybe even a single-family home or a duplex or a triplex or a quad. Invest in those first. Get your feet wet. Learn the business. Cut your teeth. Some people say, you know, cut your teeth first on these smaller properties. Because you can make mistakes on a 3-unit apartment building, and you won't have too many problems. But if you make big mistakes on a 15-unit apartment building, that could really sink you. So I recommend buying some, you know, smaller properties where there's not a tremendous amount of risk, learning the business, and then you're upgrading. You'll upgrade those properties to bigger properties.
All right, and let's just say there were 3 steps to that you would suggest a beginner take to get that first deal. What would those 3 steps be?
Let's see. Educate yourself so that you're not fearful of making the investment. Choosing a farm area, very specific region or area that you want to buy in. And then going out and networking, seeing a lot of properties, meeting a lot of brokers, meeting a lot of people in the field, and running a lot of numbers so that you
right
feel
on.
Comfortable when you find the right property, you're ready to move quickly.
Wonderful. And to finish up here, let's just say you lost everything.
Yeah.
Everything. You're at either ground zero or below zero.
Sure.
What one thing would you do differently when getting started?
What one thing would I do differently than what I've done so far?
Then when you got started before, is there one thing that you would do different to just get started?
Oh, I would have done it earlier. I wouldn't have waited so long. You know, I waited. I waited until I was 30 before I really got started. And I wish I would have done it when I was 25.
Oh wow! Well, Matthew, thank you so much. Thank you so much for sharing your knowledge, your expertise. Everybody on the line, go to Matthew. Is it MatthewMartinez.com?
It's actually www.MatthewMatthewA as an apple, Martinez, MartinezZ.com. So just my name, MatthewAMartinez.com. And you can find all the information about myself and my groups and my newsletter that I have a newsletter that we send out every month. It's free. And my books and everything else, and your readers or your subscribers can contact me that way if they care to.
Click through, sign up for his newsletter. He's got some great, actionable, solid content. This is an experienced man. And his book, Investing in Apartment Buildings, I can tell you I've read a ton of books, and this book is filled with great content. Go to his website, buy the book, check it out, read it. Matthew Martinez, thank you so much for being on the line. And to everybody out there, this is Patrick Riddle with MustKnowInvesting.com. We'll see you next time.